Technology. It's in your pocket, your car, your business. And the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing is tracking all of it. From consumer tech to cybersecurity, from the giants to the startups. Every weekday, we bring you the latest stories about the companies and advancements that are changing the way we live and work. Tech is remaking the world. We'll make sure you're a part of it. Subscribe to the WSJ Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, July 1st. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. If you've been following the markets during the pandemic, you've probably felt like buckling your seatbelt. U.S. stock markets lost a third of their value in March and April, then turned around and had their best quarterly performance in more than 20 years. Along the way, there have been 1,000-point daily gains and losses. All that's to say, if you're thinking of investing, proceed with caution.
Trying to react to the market by trying to time it is a loser's game. And it's a loser's game because the stats show that people, on average, don't get it right.
But what if you got retirement savings tied up in the market? And how has the coronavirus changed the face of investing? Saker Nusseibeh, CEO of investment manager Federated Hermes International, will join us with some insight after the break.
When the world is at a standstill, facts can move us forward. Facts help us make decisions and bring us together even as we're apart. The Wall Street Journal has the facts in these uncertain times. Get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak with free coverage of the crisis and its impact on the economy, politics, culture, and daily life. Find the clarity you need with America's most trusted news source. Visit WSJ.com and stay informed.
U.S. stock markets have largely rebounded since the start of the pandemic, but what can we expect on Wall Street for the third quarter and beyond? Saker Nusseibeh, CEO of Federated Hermes International, joins us to discuss. So, Saker, 4 months into the pandemic's grip on the economy, can we identify any kind of a pattern as to how the markets respond?
For many years, the market was used to reacting to what it saw as financial crises, be that 2000, 2008, and therefore it had a playbook from which it could essentially draw upon to try to react. The problem it had with the coronavirus is that for the first time it was dealing with what effectively is a societal crisis that has ramifications on the economy and therefore the markets, and was completely, in a sense, unequipped or ill-equipped to understand how it can react to it. And it finally got its act together when it started to figure out, well, whatever's happening out there, what matters is what kind of recovery we're going to have from what kind of recession. And therefore, the discussion became how deep the recession, how quick the recovery. The way it discounted the recovery, to my mind, right at the end, was rational in that it said that whatever destruction to economic activity we're seeing is temporary in the sense that no real infrastructure is being destroyed. And although it might result in unemployment, we assume this will pick up again once the economy gets back on track. So that recovery was perfectly logical and sensible. Now, with the resurgence of corona infection cases in some parts of the states of the United States, and indeed in other parts of the world where we've seen a clampdown on it, the market is getting a little bit worried about whether the recovery is going to be further out because it's going to take longer because you might have more lockdown. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I think that's how the market's reacting to it. So I think finally the market is reacting rationally.
So what does that tell you about what the market is likely to do in the third quarter?
I find it very difficult to try to suggest a trend line which is that shorter term. And the reason is we don't know how this disease is behaving, and therefore we might have volatility. What I can say is, in the long term, and despite people worrying about the valuation of the market, in the long term, unless you believe this crisis is resulting in a real destruction of the economy, and that does not mean unemployment or some companies going bust, and a real removal of worker capability, meaning people no longer are around to work, you have to assume that whatever hit we're going to get is a temporary hit, which is removed after time. So in general, I would say that I'm positive on markets. I'm positive even on the U.S. market, despite the valuation that we saw, because the U.S. economy is still a strong engine. And actually, I'm very constructive on the U.S. recovery. I would say what we say at Federated Hermes anyway is the only way to invest is for the long term. And for the long term, I'd put money into the market. And I remind people of, I was a growth manager for most of my career. And I remind people of what the greatest value manager ever said. And that's Warren Buffett, of course. When he said, when I see a discount in my favorite store, I get happy because I can buy my stuff cheaper. Something to those effects. And I'd say the same about the economy. The economy is not destroyed. It's just taking time out. But it will come back.
But we're still in a very volatile market environment, which can scare people with 401k investments into pulling out.
If I think of somebody at 60 who plans to retire at 65, they would have a different tolerance for volatility, which is what we're talking about, than somebody who, say, is 40 and plans to retire at 65. Likewise, if you're 59 like me and you're not planning to retire before 70, you have a higher tolerance of volatility. So in general, trying to react to the market by trying to time it is a loser's game. And it's a loser's game because the statistics show, stats show that people, on average, don't get it right. And what you end up doing is actually shifting typically at the wrong point, because you sort of want to come into the market just when everybody else has come in. You want to come out of the market when everybody else has gone out. So I would be careful about changing my allocation. But people have different circumstances, and people who are 1 year away from retirement might want to try to lock in what they've got into cash and physical assets. And people who have just started on the career path might want to increase their risk assets because they see volatility as working in their favor, not against them. But it's a difficult game to get right.
You know, the markets pay very close attention to the Fed and central banks. We've seen some positive economic data in the past several weeks. Unemployment is still at record levels, but people are beginning to go back to work. Business activity has picked up, and we see that in oil prices moving higher. Would progress like that give central banks any reason to move interest rates higher?
The Fed and the central banks are clearly saying to the markets that they're willing to be as accommodative as they can be. I can't see how that is until they see a sustainable recovery. The question here is what happens when we lift all the restrictions and companies go back to work and the furloughed workers come back to work. At that stage, the non-sustainable companies will have to let go some of the workers. So the economy is still in need of support. I cannot see central banks, including the Fed, being aggressive with hikes in interest rates in that scenario. They will wait to make sure that the recovery will take hold.
Saker, are we in any kind of Wall Street 2.0? And what I mean by that is, has the pandemic changed investment strategies in the market?
There is an awareness, certainly amongst professional investors, that trying to understand the total risks involved in the markets and the total aims of investment have got to be reviewed as a result of the COVID crisis. Short-term financial matrix do not lead to sustainable wealth creation. You've got to look at something else. And that has brought a greater awareness of what other people call ESG or responsible investing, looking at environmental, societal, and governance issues to try to protect themselves. It's not a panacea. It's just a better way of understanding long-term investment. There is a kind of beginning of an understanding of a concept that we at Federated Hermes developed many years ago in London called holistic return. And what we meant by holistic return was that you cannot isolate a return from a particular instrument from the total effect on the total portfolio that you've got, and in fact, where you can spend the proceeds of that portfolio, right? So at an extreme case, it's no good making a huge amount of money if you get a bunch of money at the end of it, but you can't spend it because you live in an isolated high tower flat and you're paying all of your money to try to pay for food and water because society collapsed around you. I mean, it's an extreme case, but it kind of makes the point, right? And I think what the coronavirus has brought to the fore is people understand that there's something about resilience that matters, and something about the resilience of societies that matter, and something about the resilience of economies that matter. These concepts of sustainability have got to be at the heart of the investment process if we want to create wealth for oneself, but also for the society we're in a sustainable fashion. Otherwise, like we've seen with the coronavirus, the effects on society can be quite dire. And indeed, how we come out of this crisis depends how sustainable the economies that we built are. And the companies that survive will depend to a large extent on how sustainable their practices are with their own workforce. So suddenly, we're looking at a different matrix from just pure financials. I think that is kind of one of the major differences.
And how do you see the political climate in the U.S. affecting stock markets for the rest of the year?
I think what people should pay attention, one of the major things that we should pay attention to is what happens in the election in the United States, because it is the biggest economy in the world. It's not so much about the political direction of who takes power in the United States, but it's much more about what kind of policies regarding globalization and global trade and international institutions, actually, that the United States will take. That is an important thing to watch. Derived from that, but not separate from that, is what happens to the relationship between the United States and China in the trade deal. And we're told that's still on track. So that is a positive thing to think about. Outside of the United States, one would look at how Europe reacts to its recovery. And we were talking about interest rates, but also governments' reactions and whether they're willing collectively to continue supporting the member states in the transition.
All right, that's Saker Nusseibeh, CEO of Federated Hermes International. Saker, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.